Welcome to Reinventing Banking, a podcast focused on the intersection of financial institutions and technology leaders, brought to you by FinX Tech. I'm Kia Lau Haslett, the Banking and FinTech Editor. We're here to talk about what's really happening in the financial industry and the challenges to digital transformation. Checks are a pernicious issue for banks. While some customers love them, most are increasingly moving towards electronic or online payments. Declining check usage makes it hard for financial institutions to justify investing in fraud detection or prevention. But checks are an attractive fraud target for criminals. 80% of respondents to Bank Director's 2024 technology survey said check fraud is the type of fraud that concern them the most. One specific way banks can use technology to reduce check issuance is by making sure electronic payments stay that way. But antiquated payment systems mean that banks are still issuing checks that are intended to be fully electronic payments, totaling billions of checks, adding up to more than $1 trillion a year, according to Shai Stern, CEO and co-chairman of CheckAlt, the largest independent provider of treasury and lockbox solutions. I spoke with Shai recently to learn about how financial institutions can process payments more efficiently and take checks out of the system. Hi, Shai. Thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, I am here to talk about what I think many people think is a more antiquated form of payments, but is one that is causing a lot of consternation and issues for banks, and is really related to something that's very, very important to a lot of businesses and consumers, which is checks and payments in general. And so my first question for you is kind of like a more existential one. What is special about checks relative to other payment methods? And why might someone choose to use a check? And who might choose to use a check?
That's a great question. I write charity checks. There are those who write checks for their school's clubs.
Yes.
Landscapers, homeowner associations, property management. What's interesting? There's actually a government issued check now for tax credits. The government is sending out checks.
Uh-huh.
There are 2 billion checks that the system actually is writing. We'll define what the system is.
Yeah.
Even intended to be a check. So there is a lot of paper.
Yeah.
If you're asking why people would enjoy paper, I know somebody, a good friend of mine. Old school kind of fellow, but a business person. He goes, when I receive a check in the mail as payment for a service, I feel so much better than getting a wire
or really
credit. It feels good. You open the mail, you get a check, you can feel it, you can touch it. It's like people who like newspapers over reading the news online. There's a certain feeling around it.
Yeah.
Certain behavior. Of course, all of us today, we don't need to feel anything. If it hits our bank account, we're just as happy to receive a deposit. But there are a lot of different use cases and people who are stuck in habits that they feel comfort in writing and receiving a check.
Yeah. The Federal Reserve's payment study found that check payments have declined about 7% every year between 2018 and 2021. But at the same time, the value of these checks payments is increasing from $1,900 to about $2,500. I asked my marketing colleague, Ambrose, who is younger than me, when was the last time she wrote a check? And I think she wrote one this year, but it was for the down payment of her car, which kind of probably aligns with the consumer usage for checks. And I can definitely see businesses maybe cutting bigger checks. So what is behind these trends from your perspective? What are your customers telling you about their relative check usage versus the relative payment trend underpinning that usage?
So my customers tell me a lot of things. The first things that customers tell me is, how do I fix the U.S. Postal Service? Because that is the number one issue that we deal with over here at CheckAlt. Obviously, we can't fix it, and it's going to be more of a problem with the upcoming election, with mail-in ballots going to bombard the Postal Service.
Sure.
But our customers are absolutely, at times, seeking to take checks out of the system, and mm-hmm. at times, they just want to know. To to process them if there's a more efficient way.
Yeah.
Most businesses are not. If you look at the trend, if you, businesses that are trying to pitch virtual cards or they're trying to pitch a better solution, they are working so hard still today in 2024 to call up a business operator and they're attempting to convince them to change a behavior.
Yeah.
Asking anyone to change any behavior is incredibly difficult. People are creatures of habit. The reason why Uber has no issue like this is because you cannot use their app without using the payment method in the app. And what's so funny is how many people, if they once in 10 times or one in 20 times, they use a yellow cab now instead of an Uber, most people will walk out of that yellow cab forgetting to pay because their habit has been that it's on their phone and
they're paying the app.
And the driver's now chasing this passenger down the block thing. You didn't pay me.
Oh,
and it's not because they intended not to. The habit was, oh, I thought I was using an Uber and I forgot about it.
Yeah.
So habits are so easy to develop and so hard to break.
Mm-hmm.
But here we have a situation with a habit, which you would think would be so easy to break, is so hard to fall. And that is because there is a protective measure of a check. So you could have, for example, someone in the AP department print out all the checks and the CFO comes one day and signs it.
Uh-huh.
So there's a double review on the payment to make sure it's not a duplicate, to make sure that they're paying somebody they shouldn't. Or a lot of businesses don't want to pay too early, wait 3 days. The CFO is back from the business trip. Then he or she will then authorize the payment. But they're habits.
Mm-hmm.
And when you see the numbers go down, it's only the numbers of check go down, but the value go up is because the retail consumer checks, which are the smaller dollars, they're out. The business checks are then more prevalent. So it skews towards a higher number.
Yeah. Are there any other security features about a check that make it more comfortable for a business customer or the finance business department to use these versus other payments?
I don't see any, no. As a guy who's in the check payment business, there is no additional protection. Now, if someone thought that I'm secure by putting all this information on a piece of paper in an envelope that is then being in the U.S. Postal Service, that that is secure. We all know today that check fraud is prevalent and it's happening every single day. And these crooks know and they're looking for bill paychecks and they're looking to go ahead and steal them without a question. So I don't see any additional security by putting a check in the mail.
Yeah. So one of the reasons why we are talking about checks on this financial technology podcast is fraud. Checks, you know, I was just as surprised as everyone else to find out in 2020 that check fraud was on the rise. 80% of respondents to Bank Director's 2024 technology survey say check fraud is the fraud that is most concerning to them. So can you tell us how fraud works when it involves checks? Why do we have to care about the mail? You know, and to understand the vulnerabilities of this payment method, especially in its paper form.
Yeah, I love the question. So I want to say, so first, on the reason why people are incredibly concerned about check fraud versus other types of fraud.
Mm-hmm.
It's because ACH fraud or card fraud, anything there, they like put their hands up and they go, this is the future. This is where it needs to be. We got to deal with it. We can't,
sure.
We can't make an issue of it because that's where it is. And maybe we could have additional protections, but you can't fight that because that's the future. And there's plenty of it. We all know that the numbers are very big. With check fraud, everyone wants to beat down on it because they say, you don't need to do this anymore. The ultimate thing that I am most concerned about that we are trying to really solve for is changing a behavior with someone to stop writing a check, we know is the long tail.
Mm-hmm.
But can anybody explain why the banking systems, and this is the problem today that we're solving for, one of the things is why $1 trillion is actually being put there that never was intended for it. If you're able to deal with that problem and solve for $1 trillion, that is easy. It's relatively easy to solve for without having to change behaviors.
Okay.
So I think behavioral shifts are the hardest thing to deal with.
And I definitely do want to talk about behaviors and alternatives and technologies. I think one of the things about checks that is making this so urgent is the direct fraud costs on a payment method that is increasingly not being used and is going away. And I think that that creates a real tension for banks to figure out, what problem do we solve for? Do we solve for the check fraud problem, or do we solve for the check problem that is creating some fraud for us? And one thing that, you know, I noticed is, I think, you know, check fraud is also coming into is being looked at by regulators. So the Treasury Department in their 2024 National Money Laundering Risk Assessment had a special check fraud section. And they found that suspicious activity reports related to check fraud increased 94% between 2021 and 2022. The year before had increased 23% year over year. So how do financial institutions kind of detect that there might be a funny check? And then if a financial institution finds out that one of their checks has had fraud committed, how do they like adjudicate that? Like, how do we talk about the fraud problem before we move on to the behavior problem?
So I think that when checks come in that are suspicious, they get flagged and they get held up. They don't get.
What does a suspicious check look like?
Well, a suspicious check looks like if it's a signature that doesn't match the original signature of when you open the bank account.
Okay.
So that could be one. And it's hard sometimes, or the banks don't have the right measures in place to protect against that, even the signature, or they're under-resourced. That's very, very bad. Number two is, where is a check being deposited? So there's typical behavior, meaning if I live in Wisconsin and I'm depositing a check in New Jersey, that might be surprising. And the bank could pick up on certain things that they can do to protect against that and flag it. Also, if I'm accustomed to writing $400 checks or $500 checks and not $1,000 checks, it's a check for $42,000 or $18,000. And the numbers are more unique. So what is the bank doing to flag it or to question it? It's not sufficient sometimes just to say, oh, I'm now going to hold the check for 3 days or 7 days and let the check go through. It has to be flagged. Now, there also, you could check numbers, see if it's a duplicate. We one time had a woman, but it was actually a housekeeper for 10 years in our home, and took checks from the bottom of my wife's checkbook out of her desk and then deposited them, and we caught it. We caught it because when we saw the check go out of our account, we saw the image of it, and we caught it, not the bank. We caught it, not the bank, because she was foolish enough to write down rent. So my wife's not paying rent via check. And also she wrote it out to a person that we don't pay bills to. So we saw it a couple of days later when they had the image of the check there. But the bank should have caught it. Now, right away, we call the bank, and the bank within seconds put the money back in our account. But there are certain things. But we have another issue, is that banks today, as wonderful as all their employees are, they are under-resourced. They're under-resourced. They have so much. They're very busy, and there's a lot of work going on. And now check fraud has added on to their workload. It's hard to catch it all versus crooks, you know, who spend their entire day doing nothing else but being a crook, versus good people who have multiple good jobs to go do.
So, you know, check fraud and investment in check fraud detection kind of assumes the continued usage of checks. But check usage overall is declining. And it sounds like you are, CheckAll is trying to help banks stop payments that they're not supposed to be check payments. They were not issued as check payments, but for one reason or another, wind up going into a check. And I've actually had a situation where I was trying to roll over a retirement account from my old employer, and one of the accounts was able to do electronically, fully electronic. And then the other one had to be cut, like dispersed to me as a check. And it was thousands of dollars coming from a payer I've never, I didn't know who my retirement, administrator was. And then it was given to me, and I had to I had to deposit it into my account. And then I had to take it from my account and transfer it electronically to the new payer. And I was that it took so much longer and I was very scared. I was like, this, the one time I get mugged is the time I have an $8,000 check on my wallet. So is that a situation that you're trying to help me avoid?
Yes, it's one of the many use cases. About that check never should have been printed and mailed. I went to the dentist last week, and the dentist, it was so bizarre and like somewhat backwards. Even though I have dental insurance, the dentist said, well, you have to pay.
Mm-hmm.
So I paid $495. And then literally 3 days later, I got a check in the mail for $485.
Oh my gosh.
And I was like, I could have just paid you 10 and you could have collected from the insurance. So there are processes that are still, like, let's call it antiquated or not as direct or easy as they should be. Yes, it is a lot of what we think about and how we could assist businesses not have to operate.
Why does that happen? Why are the checks getting cut?
There are antiquated systems.
Okay.
Legacy systems. You know, in banking technology, there is, everything takes a long time. There's a lot to do. A lot to provide services for. There's a lot of demand from clients that I want this. And you just can't get to everything. It's impossible.
Mm-hmm.
So banks, with all the wonderful of intentions, they're going to be stuck with legacy platforms and legacy systems, which are very, very hard to go ahead and sunset, to go ahead and to migrate onto new ones. It's just a tremendous amount of work. So when it comes to these things, sometimes systems don't talk.
Yeah.
Systems don't communicate well. There's an outcome. And a lot of times, especially in this case, when people want to send money one to another, if the systems aren't able to communicate, then the default is, okay, let's just print the check and mail it.
Okay.
So there are solutions in how, well, if you never used bank bill pay and you used Venmo or Zelle or ACH, then it'll just go electronically.
Yeah.
But if you're still using what's called bank bill pay, then there is a great chance that the bank bill pay networks are not communicating properly.
Okay.
And therefore the checks are dropping and being mailed.
Interesting. Can you talk a little bit about that kind of that conversation between banks who want to provide their business customers with payment methods that are easy and affordable, but are timely or whatever? And then kind of how should banks steer that conversation towards other payment alternatives that might be good options that give the customer what they want?
Yeah, I love the question. I love the way you phrased it. So for starters, I don't think affordable is the issue.
Okay.
People, especially businesses, they will pay for value.
Okay.
So value is key. I think that banks need to articulate to their customers value. The value to the customers is a whole bunch of different values. Number one, the bank has to say, look, we as a bank, we do not want to take a payment and kick it out to be a check and mail it.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day is, if that check gets stolen, the bank is on the hook because the bank took an online payment and they put it into the mail.
Yeah.
If that gets stolen, the bank's on the hook. So the bank should understand its own motivation to make sure that payment never drops.
Yes.
Then the bank should articulate to the merchant and say, look, help us help you. The help us is that we don't want to be exposed. That's helping the bank. Helping you means you want to make sure you get your payment. You don't want your payment being stolen. You don't want it to take 10, 12, 15 days of the check, God forbid, being lost in the mail. So we want to help you accelerate your day sales outstanding. We want to make sure that you have the right reconciliation. We also want to make sure that if the payor paid it online on the 14th and they intended for it to be received on the 15th online payment, but instead it hit a check and now it gets mailed and it comes on the 25th. And now they wrongly assess a late fee because it's more than 5 days late.
Yeah.
And then the payor now calls the business and says, why are you assessing me a late fee? Well, I paid you online. Well, no, you didn't. I received a check in the mail. And now they have to argue. This one sends a screenshot of the online payment. this one shows a, you know, a picture of the check.
Yeah.
They're both right. But the end of the day is the merchant is, of course, not going to upset its customer. So they're going to reverse the wrongly assessed late fee. Mm-hmm. And how much time have they wasted? I don't know, 10, 15, 20 minutes. I had a big, large biller, who told me they get over 1 million bill paychecks a month. Over a what? Million.
A million?
That began online, that dropped to paper. Over 1 million. And I was explaining to them that some of the things that we do. And they go, you know how much those million payments cost me in phone calls coming in, wrongly assessed late fees? We can't even put a number on it. We probably have 30 people that do nothing else every single month.
Yeah.
Reversing wrongly assessed late fees.
Wow. And so, I mean, I think that seems super solvable, right? Like, you get a million checks. Do you like processing or even endorse, even if they were all correctly, like there was no late fees? That's just a lot of time and money and like one person's job, right? Every month to process a million checks that could have just been managed electronically from end to end, right?
That is correct. So there's over $1 trillion representing over 2 billion payments a year that are dropping to paper that were never intending to be there.
And it's just, is it just really kind of a matter of technology on both ends of recipients, or?
It's technology plus, let's call it, but it's doable.
Yeah.
It's doable. And even if you capture out of a trillion, you capture 10% of it, you're protecting 100 billion, right? These numbers now, they're astounding numbers.
Yeah.
So it's a big subject. Check fraud. Checks have been around for, I don't know, 500 years, you know, way before you and I thought about payments and nor about fintech. And what's so unique about it is that solving for this is not a priority.
Yeah.
Wishing that it went away is a priority, but actually rolling up the sleeves and saying, what can we actually do? It's just a lot of talk today, and we're trying to change that.
So 53% of respondents to Bank Director's tech survey said that they had upgraded or implemented payment capabilities in the last 18 months. On the business side, on the small business corporate side, what kind of investments or trends are you seeing in this space that if I was a financial institution executive thinking about spending my next big project directed towards payment capabilities in part to not kill, one of the benefits would be to get my customers to stop using checks, or for me to my bill pay to stop dropping payments as checks or stop receiving checks. What should I look at?
Yeah, so I think it's going to be industry by industry.
Okay.
And I think that there are industries that can do certain things. For example, in property management, they could encourage their tenants or the homeowners to pay via ACH or via debit card. There are ways to encourage. You could incentivize. You can say if you pay by a check, there's going to be a surcharge. There's a lot of things to change behaviors. The question is, you know, again, about motivation and again, around priorities. If you have X amount of budget, you know, in a homeowner, in an HOA group, are you going to build 3 new tennis courts, or are you going to go ahead and put your focus on changing payment behaviors? What's going to help the HOA become more successful and more attractive? There's a business priority list that is always going to be there. So to me, the more I think about it and the more we focus on it, again, it's where can we work where behaviors don't need to be changed to chip away at a problem that needs a lot of participation?
Yeah. I think that's one of the interesting things about embedded finance is, you know, when you think about, someone was telling me about like apartment rentals, and it was like a payment platform, but there's an embedded finance component to it, but that's not what, people don't buy that platform for the embedded finance or use it for the embedded finance. The payments aspect is just kind of a natural tack on. Of course you can accept payments for it. It was like apartment management rental. And it kind of makes sense to me that you kind of get someone to be like, well, you just don't have to accept checks because the platform you're using to manage the entire apartment facility just can take online payment and very easily. And then you just will cut out the check, right? You almost don't need to have a talk about behavior just to say like the platform just doesn't require this anymore.
Yeah. And there are those that do. There are those platforms that do. And there are those, I think, for example, university housing will be way easier to have that behavior go than an HOA in Florida.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so I just think it depends on where you can force it, where that would be embraced.
Yeah.
And because then you have folks who graduate, they go from university housing, then they get a job in another building in Manhattan where they prefer checks.
Yeah. And now we're just back to square one.
So it's funny. It's a persistent payment method.
Yeah.
As long as they're going to be here, which will be for a long time, we're going to have to battle. We'll chip away the best that we can.
Yeah. I think one of the things about check fraud and how check fraud can be adjudicated and, you know, the back and forth between the paying institution and the receiving institution. And, you know, I've seen from small banks complaining that some of the larger banks can take up to 6 weeks to kind of adjudicate these investigations. I do wonder if banks and if their business customers that are using checks have really thought about some of the costs that can come with checks. So processing, fraud, the float, right? The amount, getting 1 million checks and having to reassess the incorrect late fees. That's a real cost. And I just wonder how sustainable these costs are relative to other payment methods. If someone really did want to address what this costs them versus if they just change their habit or they change the habit of the person issuing the payment.
Yeah, it's funny. A couple of weeks ago, Shara Spark, who runs our risk and compliance, was speaking at a WestPay conference, and there was like 150 bankers in the room.
Yeah.
And one of the subjects was exactly the subject that you mentioned, adjudication of checks and balancing of checks. And two folks were about to like really go at it. They got so heated. Everyone got like, because they said, well, your bank, I put in a case about a check that was stolen and your bank didn't get back to me for weeks. I put in another case. And then when I finally came in a third, so then they're putting in three cases about one check. It was like so they're like, okay, let's all just agree to be nice and play nice in the sandbox. And they're like, no, we want to get back to you, but we've got like hundreds of these or thousands.
It's not you, I promise.
Yeah, it's not you. Like, we're trying to do the best that we can, but our department has lost three people. They're not letting us hire more people.
Yeah.
And we're doing the best that we can with the limited resources. So yes, it is a very uncomfortable environment for check processing.
Yeah.
And we truly believe that we can minimize some of the stress by at least this $1 trillion. And by recognizing that this is the environment, folks are not changing their behaviors.
Well, my final question for you is, should financial institutions even allow their customers to pay using checks, or could they just say, sorry, we don't support this anymore?
Until every bank goes ahead and does that, and they're prepared for the reaction, they're prepared for the other needs that are going to come with the flow of other payment methods. Mm-hmm. Plus, put that at the top of the priority list versus the whole laundry list of other priorities at a financial institution. Meaning, it sounds great. I love the altruistic thought that you have and the beautiful thinking. I just think that banks have so many competing priorities.
Yeah.
Right now, the competing priority is, how do we just get more deposits? So if someone says, I'm going to write checks, but I want to make, I'll give you a $100 million deposit or a $10 million deposit, but I still want to write checks. I mean, so be it. We'll take your deposit.
Maybe only that customer gets to write checks, you know.
But as long as your checks in the system, that's just the way it's going to be.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, those are all the questions I had for you. Thinking a little bit about electronic payments, payments in general, this payment method that I think is increasingly antiquated, but is still very popular with a certain key segment of bank customers, and then some of the issues that can come from the misuse of this payment or the exploitive vulnerabilities of it. Did you have any thoughts or closing comments or things that I haven't asked about?
Well, first, I'm honored for you to have me here on this podcast. I had a great time. I enjoy doing this. My closing comments are everyone's trying their best. Everyone's trying their best. And, you know, we ask our clients to be patient with us if there's an issue with the post office. But I do want to ask that all banks be thoughtful and be curious, be open-minded, how we can take the business checks out of the system.
Mm-hmm.
There's $1 trillion that doesn't deserve to be printed and mailed. Let's talk about it. Let's begin resolving at least something.
Yeah.
And I think if we resolve and chip away there, you never know where the next success might come. Success breeds success.
Yeah.
Wins help you become a winning team. But, you know, let's see where this all guides us. But thank you so much for having me, and looking forward to speaking with you again.
Thanks, Shai. I appreciate it.